Welcome to another episode of Thoughts of a Techno Wizard. Yeah, it is Saturday, June 10th, 8:24 a.m. And I want to do, 2023. Gotta do that part right. So I want to do a relatively short episode about the Apple Vision Pro, XR in general, because I feel like... I only did 10 minutes talking about it last time. So I want to give a little bit more time towards that in today's episode. So, the Apple Vision Pro is actually pretty interesting because, again, as I mentioned the very end of that last episode, I'm not really a fan of Apple, right? For a number of reasons, but chiefly of which is, I think the whole idea that they're a design-centric company has been vastly, vastly overplayed, right? I think they're more of an artist-centric, artisanal-centric company. And they benefit a lot from aesthetic bias. From pretty bias, or however you want to call it, right? From creating something that looks and feels really good or beautiful, right? To some people, to a lot of people even, right? Because they understand a lot about what makes things look good, right? And even feel good to some extent, right? They employ all sorts of industrial designers and material designers and this, that, and the other. But it's funny too, that word design is often, I don't want to necessarily say misused, right? Because it has a specific use in different industries. But it certainly can be subjective, I suppose, right? In my opinion, I think design is more about understanding not just what people like, but what makes life easier for people, right? What solves their problems. And on the other side of that is art, right? Which is what makes things appealing, or what might be appealing, what kind of speaks to people on different levels, right? Which may or may not have anything to do with solving your problems. And so on. But when you hear things like design in different contexts, it can come off as, it sometimes seems to be used as, oh, we're making something very aesthetically pleasing or ergonomic. And sometimes that gets mixed up, right? Sometimes something that's ergonomic, which I do think is very design-centric, right? Making something ergonomic, i.e. comfortable and accessible, does make life easier. It does solve problems. But that can sometimes be mistaken for the same thing as certain types of art, right? Certain types of industrial design where you make a chair look very comfortable or very good, I should say, right? You make it look very good, very aesthetically pleasing, but it turns out it's not actually ergonomic, right? And the ergonomic chair doesn't look as good, but is way more comfortable, right? And is way more good for you. And this happens all the time, all right? Where they say, oh, this is good design, but it's actually not, right? It's good art, or at least for some people, because art itself is highly subjective for a lot of folks, right? So something that is appealing to some folks is not appealing to others. And when you mix that together, right, when you mix those lines too much, because I think it's inevitable to mix those lines a little bit, but when you mix them too much, you have this problem where people almost always, or very often, mistake something that looks good for something that feels good or is good or, you know, solves a problem. So coming back to Apple, I think a big problem with Apple is that it mixes those lines a lot. That's like their whole business is mixing those lines to the point where people think, oh yeah, it's good design, like because it looks pretty, but it's actually very uncomfortable. Like just look at the MacBook, for instance, right? It's very sleek, metal, you know, laptop basically. And it's very slim, lightweight and everything like that. But if you ever like try to work on a MacBook, it's actually fairly uncomfortable, right? Like your hand, the way your hand rests on the, what do you call it? The lip, the lower part, you know, can be like, it can cut into your wrist a lot, right? It gets hot. When it gets hot, you know, your hand starts, can affect your hands there. Because the metal, of course, channels more heat. And like you can get like arthritis, like if you sit there too much. I mean, obviously that can happen on other laptops as well, but it happens a lot on the Mac. And because it's so low because it's so slim, right? It can make that discomfort even more of a problem, in many cases. And again, I'm not saying like other laptops are necessarily better at this. And that's also the part of the problem, right? It's because many other laptops or many other companies, right? Many other technologies rarely ever do any sort of design work, right? Like it's extremely functional. It's extremely centered, focused on, you know, just giving the product, and many other companies don't value design at all, right? And so when Apple delivers something that has some design, don't get me wrong, does have some aspects of design, but it also has a huge amount of aspects of like art, right? I was going to say like artisanality or something like that, but basically it has like artisanal design, right? So yes, it has design, but it's a huge amount of art as well. And so when you compare that with other companies that don't do any design, or very little design, and definitely no art, then of course Apple's gonna look so much better, right? But again, I've had to use, you know, Apple products for like what, a year or 2 years or something like that, for my design boot camp. And during that experience, I was like, damn, this is both very good and very bad. It was so interesting, right? Like the fact that on the software side, the only reason why I needed a MacBook is because certain programs are only made for the you know, Mac ecosystem, the OS, iOS, not iOS, what do you call the actual desktop? How do I forget? Is it Mac OS? I don't know, but you know what I mean, right? So, a lot of the software is made for that because it is simpler for developers, right? Because in the space of non-Apple devices, you have so many different types of, not quite operating systems, because most of it's just Windows. Of course, you have Linux, of course. But, you have so many different types of devices, right? That work very differently. And so as a developer and a designer too, it can be very difficult to create a program that works well on all of those different types of devices, right? And so when Apple typically only has, you know, a handful of these different types of devices, you know, when you're developing software, okay, you only need to target this, that, and the other, right? And so it makes it a lot easier to develop for those platforms. That's why I usually find certain types of software that's exclusive to Apple, that Apple ecosystem, rather than others. It's not because, you know, the Apple's necessarily better. And it can be. Don't get me wrong. Like, Apple's a huge company. they've been there for a long time. So yeah, they do have some things that are better, but not everything, right? There's a lot of stuff that they don't do quite right. But yeah, like the I think the biggest aspect of that exclusivity is the fact that they have less devices and you can kind of plan for it more. But anyways, all that culminates into this Vision Pro, right? The fact that it looks appealing in many aspects, but at the same time, a lot of people think it doesn't, right? Think it looks, you know, creepy or, you know, weird, because a lot of people are simply, you know, weirded out about the idea of having something on your face, which is fair. Like, I've just been saying for a very, very long time, right? Like, VR is a long burn, right? The ultimate goal, the ultimate technology, the ultimate version of virtual reality is, in my opinion, full dive technology, right? This technology that will allow you to completely, like, delve into a virtual world, right? Where your brain, your consciousness is uploaded into a simulation, right? Now, I personally, even though I say that, it's not that I want the world to go, it's not like I want everybody to certainly to now live in simulations. No. I think this is another part of this problem too, right? It's like people fundamentally misunderstand or assume a whole lot about technology, right? They assume that every new technology that comes out is, number one, good. Number two, supposed to be mainstream in order to be successful. And number three is, you know, is like on this linear path of progress. All right, now I'm not going to get into this whole thing about progress. I talked about it a little bit in the last episode, and I want to do a standalone episode about how we think about progress. But the reality is, a lot of technology is just made because people can. Because some people thought it was cool. Some people thought it would be, you know, fun to do. And yeah, some people thought it would solve a problem. But oftentimes, you hear this all the time. Oh, it's a technology looking for a solution, right? It's a solution looking for a problem, right? And this is certainly true in a lot of cases. But I think in terms of like things like the Vision Pro, people are... It's right now, it's like too radicalized. Like, there's some people think it's going to change everything, it's revolutionary and all this other stuff. And other people think, oh, it's nothing, it's just another Quest Pro, right? Where it's just going to fail and it's not going to change anything or whatever. And I think both sides are like missing the point here, right? Is that this is certainly one of the best, if not the best, cohesive stories of what XR can be, right? It's one of the most comprehensive packages of XR. And I do use that term XR because MR, I feel like it's so annoying. I mean, it's fair, don't get me wrong. And just a quick recap, once again, MR is mixed reality. It's like in the middle between augmented reality and virtual reality, right? It's not fully virtual, but it does augment some of the world. But the reason why I don't like using it too much is because you're usually better off at just saying augmented reality. If it augments your reality, or virtual reality if you're in a virtual experience. But it is there is a good, you know, this dog is barking. There is a good reason to use the term MR when you're dealing with things where you're not quite augmenting, you know, reality, at least not in a way that that AR can be, right? Because a lot of good AR is like putting virtual things in your real world in a way, to me, that's like more spatial based, right? It's not just a floating screen in front of you. It's you look at certain objects or you look in different areas and boom, there's a virtual element to it, right? I do think that has not really been realized very much yet. But yeah, nonetheless, fine, they want to call it an MR device, whatever. But yeah, like, I do think the Vision Pro, as it's been advertised so far, we'll see what any of this looks like when it actually comes out. in people's hands. And I know some people have tried it, so it's not like it's all smoke and mirrors. But yeah, they do have a very comprehensive vision, if I could use that word here, of, you know, this XR experience, this MR experience, of the fact that you can, you know, interact with this interface, interact with this, their Vision OS and all this other stuff without controllers. I think it's actually pretty amazing, even though I do think not using any controllers is extremely limiting, right? But the fact that they figured out a way to have this hand tracking based interaction without these uncomfortable gestures, and we'll see how this feels when more people get a hold of it. But in times past, a lot of gesture based interactions are very annoying because you have to like hold your hands up you know, so the camera can see it clearly, and do all these gestures that don't really feel as intuitive as you would think, right? Like oftentimes you would have like a pinching gesture, and sometimes it doesn't read it, or you know, you have to do it in a certain way, or it just doesn't feel natural for certain, you know, use cases and stuff like that. So the idea that you just tap your fingers together to click does seem to be pretty natural, right? And I really like I don't like the term, but like the crown thing, the crown knob, where you can just turn a knob and it switches from, you know, the real world, you know, pass through a augmented experience to a completely virtual experience. I think that's actually phenomenal, right? Because other headsets have this where, like the Quest, you can like tap the headset and it just switches over to a virtual. But being able to control, right, how much is virtual and how much is augmented actually makes it far more dynamic, right? Because that is where for instance, the MR comes from. That's why I don't mind using that term here, because you can like basically choose how much of your space is augmented or is virtual. And that is actually pretty amazing. And that's gonna make a lot of opportunities for developers to really play around with mixing, you know, the virtual and the real to a great extent. The fact that they also created an entire OS system specifically for this XR experience, I think is also very powerful, very underrated. Like, yeah, some people have properly rated this, I think, but a lot of people are kind of just ignoring how important that is. Now, at the same time, I don't buy into the fact that this is, well, first of all, it's definitely not the first spatial computing or spatial OS system. I know people that are building their own spatial OS system, and to be honest, Apple's does not look good compared to what I've seen so far. Obviously, they have way more, you know, funding and ability to actually build a full functioning system and implement it into a bunch of devices, so that's a huge leg up for them. But the problem I see with their OS system so far is, once again, it's not really spatial computing, right? A huge amount of it is just floating screens. It's just floating 2D menus, right? In a 3D world. And just because you can move certain screens back and forth and left and right does not necessarily make it spatial computing, right? I've seen in spatial OS systems where you can literally turn an application into a 3D object, right? And you can move it around that virtual world, and then, or you can map it or anchor it to a real world object, right? That is spatial computing. And maybe Apple will do this. I think I've mentioned in the last episode, I do think they have the capacity for it, right? They have the potential for it, because they actually have been doing a lot with their AR kit. Right, with the fact that they have an augmented reality SDK out right now, a software development system, where it's just really good, right? It's actually better than a lot of Android's, a lot of Google's augmented reality, right? So with that system, you can place an augmented reality, kind of a virtual, you know, object in the real world, and is fairly freaking accurate, right? Where it looks like it's actually on the ground. It looks like it's like a realistic sizing and all this other stuff. And it can even be persistent, meaning you can place it on the ground, turn away, and then turn back and it's still there. That's actually very difficult for a lot of these augmented reality systems, because it doesn't keep that memory. And then you can also scan real world objects. And I was just literally doing this just the other day for our job. We went up to one of our clients and we scanned their machine with their system. And so, you know, we're like building an application where you can like scan a machine and see, you know, certain information based on that. And it only works because of, like, in Apple's ecosystem, because it's so good at scanning things and turning it into a virtual object and making it persistent, all these other things, right? So I definitely think that they have this potential to build an amazing product for this space. But again, there's a lot of elements that they showed off that were more aesthetic rather than not just functional, but good design. And what I mean by that is things like their the interface, right? Again, this idea of floating 2D menus. I understand that there's this concept of wanting to focus on one thing, of making something familiar to people, right? So that people can understand what the hell you're talking about. Because as somebody who has been in this space for a long time, it's easy for me to pick it apart and to kind of gloss over the fact that most people still don't really know what VR, AR, XR, all that stuff is, right? But also as a designer, I also know that you have to give people credit for certain things, right? And you don't want to assume that people can't understand a certain thing, right? I feel like a lot of what they were showing off was more so based on marketing or perhaps limitations in their design, because there's been word that a lot of the people who worked in this project weren't actually happy with how it was released and with how soon, because they felt like it wasn't ready. And so to me, when I hear that, I think about the fact that they probably, if there really were, well, I'm sure there are a lot of designers that work there, and a lot of them probably recognize the fact that you can make this more intuitive for people, right? Because to me, it seems like this idea that, oh, a floating 2D menu is more intuitive for users, for regular people, than a spatial app system, is I think is a assumption that an executive would make, not a designer. Because the designer will probably tell you that if you do research on this, right, you'll probably be able to show, you know, better use cases. Like I mentioned in yesterday or last episode, you can have like a virtual calendar, right? Where you look at your real calendar, or just maybe you don't even have a real calendar, but you look at, you know, a calendar on the wall and you see your events for the day. And then you can schedule it right there. You can say, okay, boom, that's what I want to do. And you can have an alarm for those events, and it will find you in your house and say, oh, remember this, you have an event right here, right? Or you can show like air tags, for instance, like, oh, if you lost your keys, right, this system, because it maps your space, can find it for you, right? There's so many instances where I'd be like, oh man, where did I put that thing, right? And this system can be like, oh, here it is. And in some ways that can be creepy, but it already is, right? They said it in their announcement that it maps your entire space to the point where it can control the lighting that you see, right? Where if you're watching something, it will reflect what you're watching on your real world space through the headset, obviously, too. And that means you're like, it's mapping your space to an absurd amount. And that's why they also had a whole section about privacy, right? But so what I'm saying here is that they could have really leaned into the spatial computing aspect to really show something revolutionary, right? Where you have these applications that are tied to real world things and that solve real world issues. The fact that they only ever did, number one, like a consumer based things, right? We just sit back and watch a movie, right? That doesn't really solve a problem. So I understand when people say, oh, this is just some technology that doesn't really solve anything, right? Because for most of their use cases, it was just people sitting on the couch watching a movie or watching some big screen. And I think they should have focused more. They only had like a few seconds of like product visualizations, right? Where you see this high fidelity machine in front of you or like a car and you're working on it and stuff like that. They only showed a couple clips with this. You could have done way more with that, right? Show people really going in on this work that people do. And I think they should have focused more on multiplayer experiences, right? But granted, it's going to be, I know that the reason they probably did that is because they know that this is an expensive product and most people won't be able to get multiple. But at the same time, they should also know that they're not selling this to the average person, right? They're selling this to the prosumers. That's why it's a pro product, right? They're selling this to those enterprise companies who do have a whole bunch of people working on these, like, these big machines or trying to design a building and all this other stuff, right? So you should have, I think they should have showed these people working together through the software. I could probably pick on a lot of other details, but my point here is that I definitely understand, you know, both sides. I don't really like that both sides, but I understand different perspectives on this, right? The idea that both it's not really going to do anything, and at the same time, it's going to change everything. I do think it's going to change a lot of things, right? It's going to force a lot of companies to recognize the reality of XR, right? The impact that it's going to have, and I guess the fact that a big company like Apple is really taking it serious is going to, you know, encourage a lot more companies to get involved with this, and a lot more developers and designers and all sorts of people to also get into the space. And that is very exciting for me. But at the same time, it's also sort of a disappointment, right? Because there is a lot of this aspect, a lot of what they showed was more artsy, was more, oh, this looks pretty, rather than actually solving real problems, right? The entire reason why I'm so excited about XR is because I think it can solve problems, solve certain problems that we couldn't solve otherwise, right? I think XR, and I say XR because there's different like use cases, like AR can solve certain problems, VR can solve other problems, right? It can solve really unique problems in really unique ways. And I think that is not really being shown off these days, right? On the side of Facebook and Meta, they're focused way too much on this idea of the metaverse with no clear idea of what the hell that is, all right? On the side of Apple now, they're so focused on like this consumerism aspect and almost like ignoring like the real impact spatial computing can have. And many people in between are just like not very visionary or user-centric or problem-centric, or they simply don't have the resources. And that's what really saddens me too, because I know so many people are working on so many incredible things but don't have the resources to really, you know, make it something big, to really make it impactful. But I want to end this on an idea I had a long time ago, but I feel like it's more and more important, because I do recognize that a lot of people are uncomfortable with things on their face, right? And there's a big concern for a lot of people that this is a very Ready Player One experience. What I mean by that is like a dystopian world where people are too focused in this virtual space, got something on their face, and paying less and less attention to the people around them, to their environment, right? It's less social, It's more individualistic. It's more lonely. Like, and that's another thing that, I find it really kind of strange about this. It's like the way that they show this was just completely sterile. And like you just have one person on the couch watching the thing. And the part where they show their this dude's kid, this family, you had this dad with the freaking headset on, like videoing his, recording his kids. And again, I do think volumetric video, if that even what it is really amazing, is really useful. But the fact that you have this weird ass headset on with his digital eyes looking at the kids is it's definitely a very Black Mirror type of thing. Very disturbing. And I think that any company that really focused on design would not do something like that. Like, it's just not. It's something that, like, seems cool from an artsy perspective, but it doesn't really make sense in terms of design. Like, it doesn't actually solve a problem. At least not in a good way. And that is, I think that was definitely a mistake. And people are going to be riffing on that for a long time. And yes, other people are going to copy it. Definitely. But just because people copy it doesn't mean it's good. Right? People copy it because of all sorts of hierarchical, you know, means of the idea of wanting to copy this trillion-dollar company, right? But yeah, what I wanted to share here is the fact that I think we should figure out how to do something like holograms. And I have ideas for it. But a lot of the concerns people have about like these headset-based XR experiences is valid. Is the fact that it does take you out of your environment. And I do think there are good use cases for that. Like, there are good reasons why you want to be taken out of the environment. It is not just escapism, right? Being able to simulate entire other environments is extremely useful, right? Like, helping people imagine better futures, helping people to, you know, better visualize certain types of data, helping people to better learn in different types of environments, whether it be language or science or whatever, right? Like, there's so many use cases for why you want to create a bespoke environment for people. However, that shouldn't be every day, right? That shouldn't be an everyday experience. And I think a lot of, you know, these companies that are trying to build these XR devices are trying to create a world where every day people are in these virtual experiences. And I think that's very destructive. Instead, we should figure out, and this is really hard, don't get me wrong, but how to create a holographic experience, a holographic world, where you can have your augmented or even mixed reality display, you know, information or whatever you want to call it, in the real world with no headset, right? And I don't mean that freaking humane thing or whatever it's called. I think there's problems with that. I'll probably do a whole nother podcast with that. And what I mean is like an actual hologram, right? I think that solves a lot of the issues that people have. Most of the issues, pretty much all the issues that people have with headset-based, you know, XR. Right? You don't have anything on your face. You don't have anything that separates you from the environment. You don't have anything that causes motion sickness. Right? You don't have anything that is gets hot or whatever. What, you know, all of the things that you can list. But you can still have like augmented reality. You can still augment your display. You can still put digital information into the real world, right? And so on and so forth. But of course, it's a very, very hard problem. It's a very hard thing to solve. But so was, like the iPhone, right? So was almost every piece of technology that we have today. And I think the biggest reason people, you know, this hasn't been solved is not necessarily just because it's been difficult, but because people focus way too much on what people are currently doing, right? Because there is less kind of visionary folks working at these companies these days, it feels like. Because a lot of them are tired of fucking capitalism, I think, right? Like, the most innovative stuff I've seen in the last couple of years has come from people who refuse to work at a big company. I'm fucking sick and tired of that shit. And I definitely understand that. So yeah, I'm gonna end this here. And yeah, just I guess think about that stuff. And as always, if you want to work together on these things, I have so many ideas for like better things we can be creating. And how? Let's talk. As always, thanks for listening. And have a great day. Don't be afraid to be revolutionary. Don't be afraid to be radical. Keep being awesome. And see ya. Bye-bye.